You are the people of God just as the flesh and blood Hebrew people of old. And I want you to believe that. Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation or assembly. And that's what we're here today to celebrate, the beginning of that festival of trumpets. Of course, the main day is tomorrow, the 9th. But we're assembling in a holy assembly at the start of the day. That's a little background. This day starts the most holy month in God's year and leads to the most holy day of God's year. And what day is that? Atonement. There's a period of about 10 days between the festival of trumpets, or the first day of the seventh month, and then the 10th day would be the Day of Atonement, the most holy day. Four of the seven national festivals occur within this month. And what do we mean by that? Well, they become known as the national festival of the children of Israel. But they are, according to God's word, God's appointed times. This is how God's word expresses it. God's appointed times. And this is one of those seven. And four of those occur in this month, the seventh month of the biblical year. And that is why this has become known as the holiest month of the biblical year, or God's year. The fall festivals tell of the completion of our walk. And these are the implications that we get through God's word, of the time which will mark the completion of our walk and of the completion of Yahweh's work in the earth and with His greatest creation, mankind. They point to Yeshua, Jesus Christ, return to earth. And the Bible expresses it, the great day of the Lord. That occurs many times in God's word, the great day of the Lord. They also remind to always watch and pray. This is a time of God reminding us to get our attention. Number one, blowing of trumpets, sound an alarm, get everybody's attention. It's referred to as a regathering, as a time in which you evaluate yourself or reevaluate yourself of what you are doing, changing the things in your life that needs to be changed. It's a time of regathering. We went from the spring festivals to the fall festivals with a pretty long period in between. God is bringing us back to focus on Him and His plan, and His plan for all mankind. And the things that no doubt are implied will wind up His plan for mankind on this earth in this time of the year. And it's telling us to get ready, to be ready, and to stay ready. God is bringing us back to that point of being mindful of our walk with Him. A time of regathering, a time of repentance. The end is coming. Judgment is coming. These are some of the things God wants us to come back to focusing on. come back to knowing that this is God's plan for the future. God is coming back. And we're going to have some praise and worship at this time. Again, we'd like to welcome everybody to the Festival of Trumpets. And this is the first day of God's seventh month in His calendar year. And as our text instructs, we remember this appointed time by the blowing of trumpets, assembling in holy convocation, ceasing from our routine daily work, and offering ourselves to Him in faith and in prayer, love, and obedience. I'd like to go to some scriptures about this particular festival so you'll know some places to go when you research it. Let's go to Numbers 10 and starting at the first verse. The Lord spoke further to Moses, saying, "Make yourselves two trumpets of silver of hammered work, you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregations and for having the camps set out." The blast of the trumpets were to mean different things and to be used for different purposes and times during the year. And so this is what this is beginning to tell you about. "When both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Yet if only one is blown, then the leaders, the head of the divisions of Israel, shall assemble before you. But when you blow an alarm, the camps that are pitched on the east side shall set out. When you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are pitched on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown for them to set out. When convening the assembly, however, you shall blow without sounding an alarm. The priestly sons of Aaron, moreover, shall blow the trumpets. And this shall be for you a perpetual statute throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness and in your appointed feast and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God." And so we see that different sounds from the trumpets, from the shofar, were to be interpreted as a signal to react in a certain way. The beginning of every month, as well as every festival, was announced by blast of trumpets. The trumpet in our text, and I'd like to go back and read some scriptures as a text, Numbers 29:1. Let's go there. Numbers 29:1. "Now in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall also have a holy convocation." That's where we are tonight. "You shall do no laborious work. It will be to you a day for blowing trumpets." And then let's go to Leviticus 23 and verse 23. "Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on exactly the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. I'm going to stop right there and give you some announcements. We want to let you know that off of this Festival of Trumpets, this coming Sabbath, we will have a lunch together after our Sabbath services. So don't forget that. We have a lunch this Sabbath after this Sabbath services. Also, the Festival of Atonement is the 18th, and that will be Sabbath week. And we will have our services on Sabbath morning for that holy convocation and assembly. So it'll be a dual Sabbath. It'll be a weekly Sabbath. It will be the Sabbath of Atonement. But both ways, it is a Sabbath with all of the rules that would go along with any weekly Sabbath. Also, Tabernacles is a one-week festival to the Lord. It's also known as the Feast of Booths, where the children of Israel was to make for themselves temporary dwelling places, tents, lean-to shelter kind of a thing. And it was for them as a reminder of the time in which they was delivered from the hands of the Egyptians from their hard labor, and they had to live in temporary dwelling places as they journeyed back to the Promised Land. As Moses led them back, and they had to pitch their tents the 40 years that they were in that situation. So the Tabernacles is a reminder from God of many things, but one of those is a reminder to the children of Israel of that day of deliverance from the hands of the Egyptians. You know, it's also to let us know that we are just as the children of Israel were then. We are sojourners on this earth right now, and we're to always remember that this is a temporary home for us. Your home is temporary, but your permanent dwelling place, if you're a child of God, is with Him. That will be your permanent home or dwelling place. So we are all sojourners on this earth. And in the life that we live in the flesh and blood each day of our life. Tabernacles start the 23rd of this month, which I think Carolyn let me know it was on a Thursday. So we would have our assembly then Wednesday night at 7, similar to what we're doing tonight for the festivity of trumpets. So the Festival of Tabernacles is the 23rd through the 29th with our assembly on the 28th, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and then followed by the Last Great Day, which is on the 30th of September, which I think is also on a Thursday. So we kick it back and have the assembly on the 29th, a Wednesday, at 7 o'clock. So we'll be making these announcements as we get closer. But any questions from anyone on that? Those are our fall festival days, beginning with tonight. So I wanted to make that clear to you and have on fresh on everybody's mind the lunch together this Sabbath. The trumpet in our text that I read to you was actually a shofar, a ram's horn. It was distinctive from the silver trumpets blown for other events and occasions. A blast of trumpets on this occasion is extra special. It announces the beginning of what has come to be called the spiritual New Year festival, Rosh Hashanah. That's another name associated with this. And this came to be approximately 600 years before Christ. It became known as Rosh Hashanah about then. And of course, that was during the period in which the children of Israel was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year, or the beginning of the year. But the implication is that the understanding is that we all know the first of God's year is March to April at Passover. But Rosh Hashanah, meaning the head of the year, means the beginning of the religious year, or the beginning of the civil year. This month is called Tishri and is the most holy of the new moon festivals. This day also marks the first day of the what is called the 10 days of awe, leading to the Day of Atonement. 10 days from today, or tomorrow, if you wanted to look at it like that, will get us to Sabbath week, which is the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month. And in synagogues, the shofar is sounded daily at this time to alert the faithful, faithful that the time of repentance is near. As you can imagine, the Day of Atonement is that day marking that our sins are going to be atoned for, that they have been atoned for by the death of Jesus Christ. That has already been fulfilled. And also, many Orthodox men take a special water immersion to symbolize cleansing their ways. We're talking about the Orthodox Hebrew people, Jewish people. This is one of their practices at this time of the year. And this 10-day period from now leading up to Sabbath week, we examine ourselves. We see how we stand and what God would have us to do and how He would have us to be. And if we lack, if we come up short in our estimation and evaluation of how we stand with God and of His commands, then we have that occasion to get it right, to bring ourselves back to remembering those ways that God would have us to be. This is the time of self-examination and evaluation leading to changes that are acceptable to God. And many rabbis teach starting this process the whole previous month of Elul and continuing to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. That's the words that they use to describe that particular day, Yom Kippur, Tishri 10. These rabbis believed Moses ascended Mount Sinai on the first day of Elul to receive the second set of commandments, and that he descended with them on the Day of Atonement. This is how the religious element came to believe of what had happened and the timing in which it happened. Even though this time of the year is regarded as the spiritual new year, the months are still counted from Nisan, March, April. This day of the sounding of trumpets has become the second most holy day of the year, following the Day of Atonement on the modern Jewish religious calendars. This is how it is expressed. This seventh month contains four, again, of the national festivals of God, the appointed times of God. And when you read of those appointed times of God in the Old Testament, early part of the Old Testament, you will see that at the scripture that it tells of God's appointed times, that is, of assembly, important times of His, you will see that the very first one lists the weekly Sabbath. And so God has that as an appointed time that we, that is specially pointed out, that we are absolutely to remember, to not forget. These four national festivals that occur in this seventh month are Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles, the Week of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. And some people separate the Last Great Day from the Week of Tabernacles, but others look on it as the eighth day of Tabernacles. But actually, Tabernacles is 1 week, 7 days, with the very next day being the Last Great Day. The Festival of Trumpets, a memorial of blowing of trumpets for God's family. It directs our attention to the second coming of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the saints. You remember what's going to happen when the scripture says that Jesus comes this next time? Remember where it talks about the trumpets blowing? Letting us all know, getting our attention, every eye shall see, and ear shall hear, and know something astounding, unusual is taking place. Remember? Remember Revelation that talks about the seventh and final trumpet? Would you not think that that is going to be both events, the coming of Jesus Christ, that final seventh trumpet, going to be at this time of the year? It's most reasonable the way that God works. Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's the resurrection. That's when we are going to find ourselves, the ones that are alive and remain to that point in time, is going to find yourself being separated from those that are around you at that moment. And you will find yourself rising to meet Jesus Christ and the others in the air as He comes down to this earth to complete the other prophecies that are made known that will happen at that time. The annual festivals and holy days have far more meaning for Christians today than for the people of Israel before Christ. Their importance and relevance comes alive by careful examination of past events, present and future details, and descriptions as noted in God's Word. Far more than celebrations of harvesting crops, and a lot of these were also that, celebration and thanks to God for His blessings to us and them, for blessing their crops, for giving them rain when they needed rain, and dry when they needed dry, and for their crops to be fruitful, they were also some celebrations to God for harvest time. Again, you can see the idea of the time of gathering or regathering, coming together. All kind of implications here. Not just, you know, one or two things, but many things is God wants us to know past events and implications, present and future. They are a shadow of things to come. Let's go to see if we can read, see what Colossians 2 and 17. Let's go there. Colossians 2 and 17. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Shadows, pictures of things that God has planned for us, for all mankind, to salvation through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Obviously, God also planned for continuous reminders throughout the year to commemorate and celebrate the wonders of His greatest of His creations and of His love and future plans for His family. What could be greater than celebrating not only the physical harvest of the land, but looking forward to the vast spiritual harvest of the whole earth, the coming kingdom of God on this earth? An in-depth examination of the seven annual holy days and God's seven annual festivals reveals the very purpose of life intended by God to all of mankind. Let's look at a few more scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. Let's see what that reads. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And they should be very comforting as you remain a son or daughter of the all-powerful God. This holy day is a perfect picture of the regathering of believers. In the future, all true believers in Yeshua will be gathered to meet Him in the clouds. First the dead in the Messiah, and immediately after those alive at His coming. And what is to be the stunning signal to gather? The sound of the shofar. In fact, a particular note translated shout from the Hebrew teruah. Better translated, the alarm blast of the shofar. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 50 and see what it has to say. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And that means die, be asleep. But we all will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And then it tells of how we must undergo that change, just like Jesus undergo the change when he went back to the Father after his death. Let's go to Revelation 4 and 1. Revelation 4 and 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." The regathering of the Jewish believing remnant at his coming. Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, wrote, and let's look in Isaiah 27 and verse 12. Isaiah 27 and verse 12. "In that day, the Lord will start his threshing from the flowing stream of the Euphrates to the brook of Egypt. And you will be gathered," that's that word again, "gathered up one by one, O sons of Israel." "It will come about also in that day that a great trumpet will be blown. And those who were perishing in the land of Assyria and who were scattered in the land of Egypt will come and worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem." Isn't that wonderful? And that relates to that song that we had of being called, "Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, and he will teach us of his ways." And the Messiah, Yeshua, confirmed in Matthew 24 and 31. Let's go there. Matthew 24 and 31. "And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." Do you see? All through God's word, he has scriptures of the blowing of the trumpet, signaling the things that are to take place at that time in God's plan for this earth and mankind. It's interesting to note that Jesus was born at this time of the year. We should be celebrating Jesus' birth now, not because we find it in the Bible to do so, but because it is a blessing of God, a blessing from Jesus Christ himself, that he was obedient to the call and gave his own blood for all of mankind's failures and sins. He completed his plan as a human on this earth and ushered in that way that had never been before of the perfect sacrifice being given for atonement of sin. And it was our way to ever be and stay acceptable to the Father. It was at this time that Jesus started his ministry. In Luke 3 and 23, let's see what that says. Luke 3 and 23. "When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, and so on and so forth," given his lineage. You see, he was about the age of 30. His birthday was along about this time. He died about 6 months later at Passover time. So when was he born? about 6 months before or 6 months after he died. That's when he was born. So, Christmas is not it. This is the time to celebrate Jesus' birth. This was the time of Jesus' testing. Remember that? 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was tested by Satan. This is that time of the year. After the testing, the message is, repent. The kingdom of God is near. The greatest message for the spiritual new year is return to God. Wake up. Come to attention. Be alert. Be watchful. Evaluate yourselves. The Day of Atonement is coming. Judgment is coming. God is wanting us to be reminded of all of this. He has days throughout the whole year that are appointed times of His for His purposes of showing us certain things, keeping us within His plan, help us to make sure that we're ready for His plan for us. This particular period of time represents the time of repentance leading up to atonement. It was called Rosh Hashanah and the beginning of what was known as the spiritual year. The rabbis eventually considered it as the spiritual new year and a special Shabbat. The holy day of regathering, the Messiah as the agent of the regathering, and a full spiritual regathering at His coming. That's what His coming will bring in, that regathering of all His sons and daughters, all dead in Christ and alive in Christ, will rise to meet Him in the air at that time. We want to know that the trumpet has many other implications. We cannot cover them all. It's too many. But the trumpets obviously was used as a means of mass communication, just as the computers are today. It was used to call leaders of the tribes together. It was used to signal to march in a certain order, used to announce special assemblies and convocations, used to give a sound of alarm, used to call specifically for war. God's prophets and ministers are to lift up their voices like a trumpet and show God's people their sins. In Isaiah 58 and 1, in Matthew 24 and 30, let's go to there and see what that says. Matthew 24 and 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. In Psalms 81, it says to sing for joy to God, our strength. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day. I hope all of these are bringing significant reminders to you of God's intent for this particular festival. I believe that's all that I want to give on this or have in mind to give. I had something particular in another particular reference, and that is that Yahweh first demanded sacrifices of animals. And it was for us to graphically see that a price had to be paid for sin. When one would sin, he or she would cause the death of an animal through the required sacrifice. And if man would stop the sin, he would stop the death. Yahweh planned from the beginning that after these lessons, Yeshua would come to free man from animal sacrifices and to teach not only acceptable and unacceptable behavior, but also acceptable and unacceptable attitudes. There had to be a change of the law, and there was a change of the law. And we know that the temple has not been in existence with the Levitical priesthood being in charge all the way since about 35 years after Jesus Christ died on the cross. And Jesus paid the price for mankind's sin. And unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and all when he offered himself. From the beginning, Yahweh planned a transition from animal sacrifices to one perfect sacrifice of atonement. Priests would no longer be needed. Animals would no longer be needed. But the concept in Torah did not really change. One must still come to Yahweh through an atoning sacrifice. Now, by faith in the atoning sacrifice of Messiah, rather than by the works of killing and offering of an animal for atonement. Yeshua is not a priest who kills an animal for your atonement. He is an advocate who goes to the Father on your behalf. And the Word lets us know he paid that price once and for all as the perfect sacrificial lamb, the perfect sacrifice for humankind. Yeshua is our mediator. He's the one now, after giving his life and blood for us, he's the one that stands between us and the Father. And he is the mediator between man and Yahweh. And he goes to the Father on our behalf. And as we recognize our sins and shortcomings, and we give praise to God for the things that he's done, we give thanks for all that he has done for us. We ask forgiveness of our sins and shortcoming. Then Yahweh forgives us through the prayers that we make to Yeshua as mediator. If you would, stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for each one that's made their decision to be here. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Festival of Trumpets, for all of the implications that it brings. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us in the days to come as we evaluate ourselves and we see our sins, our shortcomings, and Lord, that we repent of those. And we ask your help in being more like you, and keeping our feet on the path that leads to you. And Heavenly Father, in all these things, we give you praise and honor. We give you the sacrifice of praise. And Lord, we give you the sacrifice of our bodies. living for you and for your plan and purpose. And in the name of Yeshua, we ask all these things, and amen. And y'all are dismissed. And enjoy the day tomorrow as you remember what that day was made for.